In the news update for August 5th, 2022, on this Friday early morning edition, part 5, continuing on with hour number 3 and finishing up with hour number 4 of the AJ Show, known as Alex Jones, on both terrestrial radio and XM, Sirius XM radio networks, as well as across all podcasting catching platforms. If you want to look us up, our name of our podcast is Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. That's how you write it, folks. And of course, you could just go to, we'll just say anchor.fm and just go and search for and discover, or just search bar and put in Top Headlines, National, International News Stories, and it'll pop right up there. Make sure you click the follow button, and that way when new notifications of new episodes come into the queue, you'll be able to watch them or listen to them as they become available. Thanks a lot for your support. Thank you for fighting in the cause for freedom. We're on the Freedom Network. Let's get back to the show here on part number 5, episode 901. Yeah, that's right, 901 episodes. That's a lot of episodes, folks. So let's hope we can have 1,000,000 episodes. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Let's finish up here.
Why do I feel so weird? And why do I feel so calm and not worried about this jury out with them asking now for $3 billion? It was $150 million yesterday. In the afternoon, they asked for $3 billion. They say I make $300 million a year. And I'm sitting there, it's like $2 million a year. And then I pay for all these lawyer fees and have nothing. In fact, I haven't been paid in over a year. In the bankruptcy, that's going to come out. Like, wow, Jones has never paid himself in over a year trying to keep things afloat and sold everything he had, his main house, everything. Because obviously I love this place. I love my crew. I love the listeners, what we're doing. But I was sitting there during the break while the coffee was brewing, getting a cup. And I was thinking, what is this weird feeling I'm having? And it's this. Why am I not worried about me? Because the whole world's collapsing. 64 million people, the UN estimates, in the last 32 months starved to death from the lockdowns. I'm not a starving African or somebody in Venezuela. And I feel sorry for those people because I know I'm next. And so things are so bad. Doom is so insane that my problems are minor compared to other people's. But why are we important? Because we're exposing who's doing it and trying to stop it. And that's why we're precious. And that's why you're precious. So I'm going to tell you bottom line. Right. It's been a long fight. And back in 2016, I just finished a divorce. I had almost no money, about $300,000 in the bank. And with the type of bills I have and things, that's nothing. But my divorce was over. You know, took care of my ex-wife. The court ordered it. Everything we had. And to buy her out of the business. But back then, if I would have tried to push products like I do now, we would have had hundreds of millions of dollars in surplus, but I didn't. And so I have this guilt when I get up here and I say, we are down to the wire. We could lay off people in a month. We could start shutting down if you don't support us. Well, I've been in such a long battle the last 4 years that A, I get mad I didn't try to make more money back when I could, when we weren't deplatformed. And then B, a part of me just wants to just say, okay, I've done my job. I tried, but I can't give up. So I have to come and beg you. And I'm begging you because I don't want to give up. And I know you don't want to give up. To really understand, don't listen to them. We don't make $70 million a year gross. And we sell products, so it's only part of that's profit. I don't have anything in any comparison to what they're claiming. I don't do this for money. I was offered Glenn Beck's job before he was created. You see, we have the number one political book right now, the number one political film right now. I don't even make money off that film other than the DVD sales we have here. And I'm not bitching. I'm just saying, if I was trying to make money, the Kissinger Group tried to hire me in front of my producers 15 years ago. I'm dedicated to you. And this long battle, people kind of get used to Alex Jones is always there. And I've had family members who were just really cool, like my dad's favorite uncle. He had four uncles and his dad. So my great-grandmother Moon Jones. She was a Comanche Indian. She's about 75% Comanche. Beautiful woman. She was alive when I was a little kid. And she had five sons. And my dad's favorite was the youngest, the baby, Leonard Jones. And man, he was a badass. They all looked like John Wayne. I mean, you'd see him, they looked better than John Wayne. It's like, when I was a kid, like, what the hell are these guys? These guys were walking the room, all like 6'3", freaking dark skin, blue eyes, black, slick back hair. It's like, damn, these are the men that just arrived. I'm like, men are getting weaker. I'm like way weaker than those dudes. They were like badasses. Like my grandfather was like at one point the Army boxing champion. And I would sit there and see these guys. And the reason I raise that is I see how far we've fallen and what we've become. And it absolutely disgusts me to see what these men fought for and what they were and what they did. And to see us losing all that makes me disgusted. And I forget the main point I was going to make about it. It's just this, that a lot of people fought for the freedoms we've got right now. And everything they built and everything they did is being flushed down the toilet. And I started telling the story about my dad's favorite uncle. And I forget the story I was even going to tell. Maybe it'll pop back in my head in a second and I'll tell it next segment. But it's just, I can't let them down. These were good men and women. These were good people. And they were the salt of the earth. And if we had them now, if we had your grandparents and great-grandparents right now, we wouldn't be in this position, ladies and gentlemen. Barnes, I'm ranting here. What do you want to get into next?
No, I mean, I think it's a good point. And I think some people had asked, should they continue to be supporting InfoWars, given all of the things that are going on? And the answer is yes. And the beauty of the InfoWarsStore.com is it's something that makes you healthier, wealthier, and wiser, regardless of the circumstances. So that's the utility of it. There's something on there that you can find that is good for you.
The next hour away from the next guest host, because I want to hit the midterms. I want to hit Russia and Ukraine. I want to hit these DeSantis clips. I want to cover what else you want to get to.
Oh, we got to talk about economic news. I mean, the Fed continues to sink the economy. They may blow up the stock market, blow the housing market in the name of curing inflation that was caused because they kept printing. We will see with Ukraine. Ukraine is collapsing. The question is, how quickly does Zelensky golden parachute out to his nice condos in Miami and all that money that was detailed in the Pandora Papers comes back to him? How much of the deep state of the Ukraine aid is just a deep state black book budget that is actually going back to deep state operators to undermine us here in America? That's just part of it.
I just love America. I can't stand them hating it and killing it.
Oh, of course. And it's important people remember, if you hold the line, the front of the line is the audience. That's why they can't stop and kill the American dream, because you continue to make it possible to live.
It's a war, folks. Well, it broke. We knew it would. ABC News. U.S. declared health emergency over monkeypox outbreak. Mask, lockdowns, forced inoculations. It's all being announced. The blue states already started the new lockdowns, the new mask. Right ahead of the midterms, Robert Barnes.
Yeah, it's no surprise. That's, I mean, why I'm working with Bobby Kennedy to sue the FDA, challenging Children's Health Defense, challenging the FDA here in the Western District of Texas.
Bobby Barnes and Bobby Kennedy.
That's right, exactly. Maybe that's where they got the Bobby phraseology from. But the also suing in the Eastern District of Tennessee, also suing on behalf of Brooke Jackson against the Pfizer for its completely illicit ways in which it went about engaging in the clinical trials of the COVID-19 vaccines.
What do you make of Birx coming out and saying, we knew the vaccine didn't work? What a devastating admission.
Extraordinary. I mean, and we have to wonder, like, credit to the attorney generals of Louisiana and Missouri. Now those suits, by the way, are being joined by the people from the Great Barrington Declaration. They are now adding their own names to the suit against big tech with their collusion with government, particularly with Fauci and Birx and everyone else, trying to suppress independent medical information.
And now the head of Pfizer says, we didn't know it would work. We had courage and just did it. So you bought off our government and made us take it.
In fact, that's their defense. Their defense in the Brooke Jackson case is it doesn't matter if they forged information, if they fraudulently submitted certifications, if they lied under penalty of perjury, they submitted documents that were not truthful and accurate, even though those documents were required and material and essential to the contract being issued and the taxpayer money being spent, it doesn't matter because the government hasn't done anything about it afterwards. So the ordinary person, the taxpayers, according to Pfizer, can't seek any remedy or relief for their own criminal-level behavior involved in COVID-19 vaccinations. solely as long as somebody at the Pentagon is wink, wink, nod, nod, in on it with them. That is the...
So they're claiming immunity.
Completely. And same thing. What is the FDA claiming? So we're suing on behalf of young children, as young as 6 months old, from being injected with this COVID-19 vaccine that is not the traditional definition of a vaccine.
And their studies out, it destroys their immune system.
Absolutely not safe. It's not
effective. And doesn't work.
Their own clinical testing doesn't allow them to say it's safe. Their own clinical testing doesn't allow them to say it's effective.
So what's the real agenda behind these shots? I mean, we know they're linked to infertility.
I think on the legal side, their main objective is simply to establish their right and their power over you.
That's right. A month ago, the FDA said, we may just start doing stuff without tests.
Exactly. And in fact, they are actually declaring that future boosters are going to be approved without clinical testing in the same standard that has been previously required. So their goal is, hey, if we can't be sued, if the FDA can't be sued, as long as they say emergency
power. Then why even have studies?
Exactly. They're just going to start scrapping them. And this is an FDA that turns around many of its key high-ranking employees and then go and work for the same big
pharma. Well, this is a revolution against due process and checks and balances and safety standards.
Absolutely. It's an attempt for the government to assert legal rights.
And it was always the left that was for that. Now they're against it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I will take whatever corporations say immediately. That's liberal.
Exactly. They've become big pharma propagandists. And to the degree they're saying that they have the power. I mean, I had someone reach out to me in Texas yesterday that their ex-wife is threatening that if they don't agree to inoculate their 9-year-old child, that then there'll be negative consequences to that parent's custodial rights. That's what's happening all across the country. So the goal and objective is to establish the legal principle and the legal precedent and the legal prerogative of the U.S. government to unilaterally declare that they own your body and your child's body and can put in it whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, however they want.
That sounds like the ultimate cult to me.
Oh, no question. It's why, you know, this goes always back to the early 20th century. The Rockefeller Foundation's obsession and its connection to the Nazis. The whole goal was to be able to show the state's right to control your
body.
But
they cloak it in pink and purple hair and women judges and, oh, it's liberal.
Oh, absolutely. And they make it about health and safety and protecting
you. We're going to cut your son's testicles off. It's liberal.
Well, I mean, there were Jewish ghettos that you would drive into during World War II. In some way, and part of the way they kept people from knowing what was going on in the Nazi oppression of those ghettos, particularly in parts of Poland, was they said, this is a quarantine zone. This is a public health danger. So they've often used the excuse and pretext of public health. Remember, they used it to take away the right of people to use natural medications while the Nazis were busy giving all of their soldiers in their Panzer Division as much crystal meth as they could possibly absorb. I mean, they were even handing out little chocolates with a little meth in it. I mean, just to get them drived up and robed up. So you have the state. The goal was the state's control of our public health, the state control of our public food, the state control of what goes in our body, and ultimately our body. Because if you don't own your body, what do you own? It's back to chattel slavery and the legal principles and purposes behind it. And they're trying to reinstate this neo-feudalism to recreate this new world order that puts them into elite power and strips us of all of our core freedoms.
That's right. It's a revolution against checks and balances and civilization. How do we counter it?
First, in the court of public information, there's a reason they're waging massive lawfare against Alex Jones and InfoWars, because this works. This worked when people rallied all across the nation against the lockdowns. It ultimately led to the reversal of those lockdowns. When people protested in mass against
that. Now they're trying to bring them back.
Exactly. They're going to keep doing it because it's going to be a constant test, a constant tease. How much can we get away with? How much can we do? How much can we achieve? How much can we attain? It's back to the early 20th century. The big difference between now and then, when I tell people that this should be a white pill moment, not a black pill moment for what's going on in the world, is nobody fought for the Connie Bucks of the world. Nobody. She had compromised counsel that was really secretly working for the other side. Nobody cared about the women that had their lives taken away from them, their futures taken away from them, their ability to have children taken away from them, their having ancestral legacies taken away from them. Nobody fought for them. Nobody did. Today, millions of Americans, because they continue to share and support the information.
That's right. We've got major opposition. That's why they're so scared.
Oh, no doubt.
And they think they can destroy a few of us. That'll intimidate everybody. I've noticed the more I fight, the more we inspire people.
Oh, yes. It's very much Dylan Thomas-esque. I told people at the very beginning of all this is that those who believe that, you know, Alex Jones will simply go gently into that good night and not rage against the dying of the light, as Dylan Thomas so eloquently stated for his father on his deathbed, is someone that's misunderstood who Alex Jones is and what InfoWars is about. But as important what its audience is about. This has been a half decade now of smear campaigns, lies, libels, defamation, attacks, attempts to deplatform, attempts to deperson the individual.
Dirty tricks.
Every one imaginable, and they have all failed to deter the audience from continuing.
Because the audience is our will. I'm just here. If you want the fight to continue, we need you to share the articles and videos, pray for the broadcast, and buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm leaving it all in the field. I've done everything I can. I love the crew. I love what we're doing, but we are literally treading water right now and starting to duck under the water a little bit and start swallowing some water. So we need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com now. You need Vitamin Mineral Fusion.
We'll be
you
right
need
back,
bodies.
Folks.
Supporting InfoWars at InfoWarsStore.com, which makes yourself healthier, wealthier, and wiser in the process. People ask me sometimes, how can you support different products? Because I've been buying them for years, because I like the products, because they're good products, because they make us better. That's why. It's simple.
Well, the highest end nutraceuticals out there. Let me ask you this the last 5 minutes before Paul Joseph Watson takes over. We'll hit some of it now, but what about the big primaries we saw yesterday? Populist sweeping to victory.
I mean, big news. I mean, well, I hope Joe Kent will be able to come back in Washington. There's always anomalies in Washington because they have a lot of mail-in balloting and mail-in balloting. As the New York Times said in 2012 in August, is an open door to various forms of shenanigans. But lucky, good news for Blake Masters in Arizona. Good news for John Gibbs in Michigan. Good news for Kerry Lake in Arizona. Good news for Eric Schmidt in Missouri. Hopefully these populist candidates or candidates that made populist promises during their campaigns will keep those promises and will continue to revolutionize American politics and take over the Republican Party and return it to its populist, constitutionally oriented roots in ways that can be meaningfully impactful for our future going forward.
Absolutely. How do people find your own syndicated show that's so popular?
Sure. So if anybody wants to find any of the content, there's still templates up for people who may need them if there's going to be another round of vaccine mandates or another round of mask mandates. So I recommend that you go to vivabarneslaw.locals.com. That's vivabarneslaw.locals.com, and that's where you can find everything.
Well, I appreciate you in round one of these show trials being here. And it's a real jury, folks, but the judge has already told him I'm guilty 20-some times. So the jury's out. Well, obviously, if tonight it breaks, we'll be here. If it's tomorrow, we'll be here, hopefully. But they're trying to shut us down. We have a plan to stay on air, but we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Hour 4 of the Outshow show starts now. Paul Joseph Watson
takes over from the UK in T-minus 6 minutes. But Robert Barnes, co-hosting with me, your host Alex Jones. One of the end of January 6th, big article up on Gateway Pundit. Ray Epps recruited me, political prisoner, writes tell-all letter from prison about his experience with the notorious operative Ray Epps that they won't touch. And now we've got more January 6th info breaking.
Yes, Darren Beatty of Revolver has news that is inside information that the FBI knows a lot more information about who the supposed January 6th pipe bomber really was and really is, other information, and they're hiding that information. And the question is, why would they be hiding that information? It was always sort of weird, the whole dynamic of those pipe bombs that never went off, they're easily discovered, that they couldn't find the person, they couldn't connect it to who it was. There was a lot of inferences that maybe it was an inside job or someone who was an informant, someone who was an instigator, someone who was an infiltrator, someone who was on an FBI payroll directly or indirectly, as many in the Whitmer entrapment plot disclosed.
Or finding these sabotage devices too easily.
Exactly. I mean, it reads like PatCon Part 2. I mean, it goes all the way back to after the end of the Cold War. The FBI needed an excuse for surveillance and big budgets. And so their excuse was, we're going to create a militia movement in the United States. It's going to be called PatCon. We're going to infiltrate existing organizations, recreate it, ended up with informants and infiltrators connected to Oklahoma City, cover that up for the better part of a decade and a half.
And when they couldn't get militias to do it, they infiltrated motorcycle gangs and led them to order them to do it.
Exactly. And this goes back.
Viper militia.
Precisely. I mean, they did it at multiple levels, and it looks like they're recreating it all over again, redoing it all over again, not only with the bogus domestic terrorism charges, as FBI whistleblowers have exposed, that they're trying to dummy up fake cases that don't exist, or that it do exist, but not as domestic terrorism cases. Or in the other context now, we're seeing everything related to January 6th. They've hidden all the video, 14,000 hours of video, almost all of it hidden from public view. What's on that video? And now, according to Darren Revolver, there's inside information that reveals and discloses they know a lot more than they're telling the world about who that person was. And this comes on the news that the Defense Department was up to something they were so scared about. They did what the Secret Service did after the John F. Kennedy assassination and what Hillary Clinton did when she was caught, delete. So major problems and questions of corruption in the FBI that continue to get out to the public.
Well, I just want to thank you for being here and the great crew keeping us on air. 28 years, folks, and now we're halfway into 2022, and it's only you, the viewers and listeners, and your prayers and support to keep us on air. So think about how critical InfoWars is today to how many things we've done. We are riding the talking points to challenge the globalist here. Our information is being picked up everywhere. Our information is more important than ever. So thank you for your word of mouth. Share the articles and videos more than ever. Please buy the products at InfoWarsStore.com and please spread the word about the broadcast. It's so critical.
No doubt. Make yourself healthier, wealthier, and wiser because, as I often say, you need to hold the line. And because the audience has held the line, that's how people-powered press continues to exist in America. It only exists because you make it possible. It only exists because you choose to take actions with your money, with your words, with what you do.
And there's this weird paradox now. We're inside the New World Order. Some people are like, well, okay, it's real now. You know, no, now's the time. Just because you're awake doesn't mean other people are. People are really ready for this now. Now's the time to share the word. Now's the time to financially support the broadcast.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, we have mass protests in the Netherlands, mass protests in Panama, mass protests in Sri Lanka. The globalists are losing in a wide range of places all around the globe. This is the time to continue to strike back. The reason why they're so over the top, so desperate, criminalizing everything, weaponizing the legal system to go after dissidents and key leaders in the dissident information source is because of the success of you, the audience, and the people in resisting this tyranny. The answer to 1984 is always and still is 1776. You're the one that makes 1776 a reality because you have heard Paul Revere's cry and you've answered that cry. And if you continue to, then Paul Revere's freedom stays alive in America.
10-second prediction. When do you think the jury comes in on my trial?
I think it may be a mistrial. If it's an honest, honorable jury, I think that a mistrial is the most likely outcome given the nature of this particular case and the fact they weren't allowed to hear most of the real evidence.
Bobby Barnes. That's what his enemies call him. He's Robert Barnes. Thank you so much. Paul Joseph Watson takes over.
We're listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
It is the 4th of August, 2022. We are live once again, and we are performing once again a kind of somber victory parade because we've been proven right yet again. We warned during the initial lockdown phase. We warned during the furlough, which in the UK was basically the government paying people to sit on their backsides and do nothing for about a year. We warned that supporting the current thing in Ukraine would cause economic devastation, pain in the pocketbook, and now they're talking about mass civil unrest and riots for years and years to come. We see that being predicted in the UK. What we see happening in Spain is, in a way, even more absurd. Of course, Spain predicated much of its economy on net zero, on the disastrous green economy over a decade ago. That led to 50% youth unemployment, 25% general unemployment. Well, now in Spain, they're being told by the government, shops, businesses, hotels, that they can only have their air conditioning at 27 degrees or higher at the height of summer. Spain's a pretty hot country, by the way. I just got back from Greece, which has an almost identical climate, and as you can probably see, almost burnt my face off. We're talking 35 degree to 40 degree temperatures in July and August outside. So now Spain bans air conditioning dropping below 27 degrees Celsius, that's 80.6 Fahrenheit for you Americans, inside. This is going to apply to all businesses, all hotels, all shops. For the time being, they're saying, oh, we're not going to make private citizens do it. We've already seen in Germany, the association that controls around 460,000 properties, a landlords association, was saying they're going to directly control people's thermostats. And yes, you can do that now with smart meters. And in private homes, they're going to prevent people from having their air conditioning low enough to be comfortable. 80.6 Fahrenheit indoors, when you're working indoors, that is not comfortable. Many people would say it's dangerous. But again, because Spain vehemently supported the current thing with their socialist government, they supported the lockdown, their economy is now in a mess once again. The tourism hasn't come back quickly enough. So now they're having to impose what is basically energy rationing. And we see this spreading throughout Europe. Euronews reports the rules will be mandatory in all public and commercial buildings, including bars, cinemas, theatres, airports, and train stations. And again, it's in the name of limiting dependency on Russian gas. That was a major reason for it, but it was already in full swing before with the energy skyrocketing cost, the inflation, as a result of the economic devastation caused by lockdown. No more was that enforced in Europe than in Spain, where they literally had drones patrolling beaches telling people to get off the beach. They had riot cops beating people in the face for not wearing a face mask. They had laws which said at one point Spaniards had to wear face masks in the sea while they were swimming in the sea. It was a law that you had to wear a face mask outdoors for months and months in Spain. They went really totalitarian on this. They wrecked their already fragile economy as a result, and now this. And the businesses, the hotels, the bars, the cafes, caught not enforcing this 27 degrees Celsius minimum air conditioning indoors, 80.6 Fahrenheit. If they don't do it, they'll face fines of up to 600,000 euros. 600,000 euros, which of course would completely devastate most businesses in that country. Euronews talked to Andrea Castillo, a worker at Castellón University. He said, right now, perhaps suggested by the heat wave you're experiencing, I would say that 27 degrees will still be very hot. Perhaps we could work at 25 degrees, but not at 27. And again, as I mentioned before, Germany's largest residential landlord, which owns 490,000 properties, will impose energy rationing that will cut heating to tenants at night. They're saying in summer, the air conditioning, or in winter, sorry, can't be put above 19 degrees Celsius, which for many older people is going to be very dangerous. Meanwhile, in the UK, Breitbart reports cost of living crisis, inflation will accelerate to astronomical levels. We had the Bank of England come out today and basically say that we're heading into at least a year-long recession by the end of this year. 13% inflation levels. Other think tanks are talking about 15% inflation levels. People's energy bills have tripled, or will triple, at least by early January, by 285%. Again, with people already struggling with the fuel costs, already struggling in terms of the impact that lockdown had on the economy, 285% increase on energy bills, dual fuel, by January 2023. Says the findings seen by the Times newspaper said the growing economic crisis would see approximately 7 million families living from paycheck to paycheck, with gas prices and food costs expected to drive inflation to at least 11%, and again the Bank of England saying basically 13, a recession by the end of the year, which will last at least a year. Now, what impact will this have? Well, we had the poll tax riots back in 1990, where there were massive riots, civil unrest, especially in London. That is about to return, according to both campaigners and financial analysts. Widespread civil unrest looming in UK over cost of living crisis. There's a whole movement now which some people have questioned because it has quite shadowy backing, some suggesting it has George Soros backing. There's a whole movement in the UK being voraciously promoted by the mainstream media, which is basically telling people from October 1st, when these energy caps increase, people paying around £1,700 a year for dual fuel to heat their homes, that's going to rise to £3,600 by January, 283% increase on March levels. This activist group is encouraging people across the country. They say they've got 75,000 people signed up already. They're raising money themselves from this, of course. It's called Don't Pay UK. Suspicious thing is, though, it's getting a lot of promotion from the mainstream media. People have pointed out that if people don't pay their energy bills, if they cut their direct debits from October onwards, that's only going to cause more energy companies to flee the market. It's going to create more of a monopoly. And of course, that's only going to lead to higher prices. BP, of course, and Shell have announced record profits. British Petroleum, its biggest quarterly profit for 14 years. But again, you have these hard left activists shifting all the blame onto the energy companies. No doubt they share some of the blame. But again, they're only reacting to the energy crisis, to the restrictions that have been caused by the economic sanctions on Russia in the name of supporting the current thing. You'll note now, as I've noted, that whereas in upper middle class areas across England, people were very zealously keen to express their support for the current thing, the latest current thing, to sanctimoniously virtue signal in support of Ukraine by hoisting giant Ukraine flags in their back garden. Now, the places you'll see these flags aren't in poor areas in Northern England. You won't see many of them in, you know, Barnsley, near where I used to live, or Rotherham. You will see them in the richest, most privileged upper middle class areas down in the south, in the southwest. I've noticed some of those flags have started to come down now because even some of those people are starting to feel the pinch. I'm going to come back in the next segment and get more into this because financial analysts and campaigners who are behind this Don't Pay group are saying that we could see a repeat of the 1990 poll tax riots, which actually caused the government to reverse their policy. And 51% of Brits in a new poll think that there will be mass civil unrest at some point this year because people simply can't afford to pay their bills anymore. Summit.news will be back. Don't go away. So we have a cost of living crisis in the UK, stagflation occurring, basically rampant inflation with an economy heading into recession. Meanwhile, of course, we have our own government continuing to provide red carpet treatment and a free taxi service to record numbers of illegal migrants coming over in boats from France with iPhones. They get free accommodation, they get free food, they get free money, while the rest of the population, the actual native population, can go whistle. They're now talking about civil unrest at some point this year, and this is the first video on that subject. Cost of living crisis riots. Let's roll it. Unlike the French, British people aren't very partial to rioting, but when they do, it can get pretty tasty.
On this day in 1990, serious violence broke out in London during a protest against a new council tax called the poll tax.
Such scenes could unfold once again as we approach autumn and winter, with the fallout from the cost of living crisis threatening to boil over into the streets. A shocking new poll commissioned by the More in Common group is ringing the alarm bell. A majority of Brits think soaring energy bills, petrol and diesel hikes, and runaway inflation will lead to actual riots in major cities. 80% think people will have to resort to shoplifting to keep their heads above water, and 70% believe people will simply start refusing to pay their bills. Three quarters believe that people being unable to afford to heat their homes will lead to deaths. Well, I hope waving your Ukraine flag was worth it. Exactly as predicted, while the media has all but abandoned its interest in the current thing, the actual impact of Western countries throwing their weight behind prolonging that war will lead to financial bedlam and poverty for many for years to come. We all warned this would happen, and we were all told to shut up and support Ukraine. Well, now it's happening. MP Alex Shelbrook described what he was seeing on the ground in his West Yorkshire constituency. Quote, "What I've been seeing on the doorstep for the last 6 months is absolute fear in people's eyes. They are terrified as to what is coming down the line. They don't know how they're going to pay it. The tax burden on the average Brit now stands at a 70-year high. The Resolution Foundation says inflation in the UK will hit 15% next year. Massive increases in fuel and energy bills are set to soar well into 2023. Oh, BP's doing just fine, though. They just reported their biggest quarterly profit for 14 years. Nearly £7 billion between April and June, more than triple the amount it made in the same period last year. People are becoming increasingly destitute, increasingly desperate, as what little income they have continue to evaporate. Families are being forced to choose between paying the electricity bill or putting food on the table. Oh, but at least pretentious upper middle class virtue signalers got to feel good about themselves by hoisting Ukraine flags in their back gardens. At least we all supported the current thing. And at what cost? Well, we're about to find out, aren't we? How are you coping with runaway inflation and the cost of living crisis? How are you planning to save money? By just turning the heating off? Are you on the edge of poverty? I'll be reading your responses in the comments below. Now, of course, the UK is a little different to America because in America, although, of course, Democrats continually deny it, their runaway inflation was occurring before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In the UK, though, and generally in Europe, the inflation skyrocketed immediately after that invasion and immediately after our governments, of course, pledged basically to prolong the war in Ukraine. So again, you've got left-wing groups blaming energy companies, completely omitting the fact that it was our government and it was their current thing mantra in general that precipitated this crisis. Of course, the lockdown exacerbated it, the furlough exacerbated it, prolonging the war in Ukraine exacerbated it, all things that the hard left in this country and many other countries supported. Meanwhile, in America, poll finds only 1% of Americans see Russia as a major problem. 1%, whereas 17% see inflation as the most important problem. Meanwhile, Biden administration to declare monkeypox a public health emergency. That just came out a couple of hours ago. And yet the San Francisco public health authorities declared a monkeypox emergency there, yet they encouraged gay orgies to continue. And this is a video we have on that subject. This is called San Francisco. Let's roll it. Crime-plagued, junkie-infested shithole San Francisco is being very, well, San Francisco. Last week, city officials declared a public health emergency over the spread of monkeypox. Remember when they did a similar thing for COVID? You weren't allowed to visit your dying grandparents. You weren't allowed to attend their funerals. You weren't allowed to go to the theater, the gym. You weren't allowed to attend church. But a public health emergency over a virus that almost exclusively affects gay men? What advice did public health bodies give in San Francisco? Go out and congregate with thousands of random people and enjoy homosexual orgies. Yes, really. San Francisco's Kink and Fetish Festival, also known as Door Alley, went ahead as normal. Before the event, State Senator Scott Wiener shared a handy, helpful guide which explained how, despite the spread of monkeypox, people should continue to engage in degenerate group fornication with multiple people at sex parties. Take a friend to the dungeon. Going to sex parties with people you know and planning on who you'll hook up with can be one way to reduce your risk if you're able to have open and honest conversations about monkeypox symptoms and possible exposures. Talk to the people you'll play with ahead of time about monkeypox, but also things like HIV, PrEP, and sexual health testing. Keep in mind that condoms can reduce risk of monkeypox, but not eliminate risk entirely, since monkeypox rashes lesions can show up all over the body. Lovely stuff. They even told gays who think they might have monkeypox to merely cover up their bumps before attending the orgies. Again, all in the middle of a public health emergency over a virus that has almost exclusively only infected gay men. This is the equivalent of telling elderly care home residents during the first wave of COVID to just pop down to their nearest neighbouring care home and shag all the other elderly residents. Once more, we see political correctness being elevated way above public health. Lest we forget the first British monkeypox patient who openly admitted he caught it after having gay sex with 10 new partners in the space of one vacation. The World Health Organization said that summer festivals should be limited to stop the spread of monkeypox. Oh, but not gay pride parades, which it said should go full steam ahead. Again, despite 99% of monkeypox cases being gay men, the WHO was seemingly seemingly more concerned about the deadly threat posed by racism as a result of the virus being called monkeypox in the first place. And don't forget, this is all happening while they prepare to ramp up mask mandates yet again and get us ready for a new round of lockdowns as we head into the autumn and winter. It's all a sick joke, and the punchline is you. It's all a scam. It's like when the doctors and nurses in New York and other American cities, at the height of the first COVID wave, went outside the hospitals and literally applauded the Black Lives Matter demonstrators who were congregating in huge numbers because the threat of racism apparently was more important than the threat posed by COVID. It's interchangeable. Infectious disease experts in Sweden are now criticizing the official gay pride parade organization there because they're having a gay pride parade, and on their website there's no mention whatsoever of monkeypox. They say it's not our problem, we've got nothing to do with it, despite the fact that, again, 99% of monkeypox cases are gay men who have had sex with other gay men. But apparently, you know, strutting half naked down the street in front of children is more important than stopping the spread of a virus. Summit.news will be back. Now go away.
From the Summit.news headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
Now, there's a deluge of bad news, of course, every day, but it's important to remember and to cherish the victories, which in terms of this woke agenda, we're seeing on an increasingly regular basis, day by day, week by week, month by month, especially in the context of the entertainment industry, which I'm going to get onto later. Another big budget movie having a massive flop, not even being released because it's so inscrutably dreadful. And that is Batgirl. We're going to get onto that later. But similar context in terms of entertainment. Of course, Premier League footballers here in the United Kingdom started performing the take a knee stunt immediately after the Black Lives Matter riots in London specifically, where they literally attacked police officers, and the response of some of the police officers in London was to take a knee, genuflect and bow before them. Then we have the sight of Premier League footballers, multimillionaires, performing the same gesture. And then the pundits, the political class, ridiculously claiming that it had nothing whatsoever to do with Black Lives Matter, despite the fact they did it literally days after police in London were seen performing the gesture in response to Black Lives Matter riots, George Floyd riots. Well, now that narrative is collapsing, finally. Of course, we saw it during the Euros, the 2020-21 Euros last year, where the England football manager, Gareth Southgate, after the England team reached the final, seemingly deliberately picked black football players to take the crucial penalties against Italy in the final of the tournament because he seemingly wanted to have the final word on this bubbling controversy that coloured the tournament, which was take a knee. Unfortunately for him and England supporters, all the black players missed their penalties. I guess he should have just given it to the person best for the job, not because of their skin colour. But now Premier League footballers likely to stop taking a knee for BLM. And in fact, this has been confirmed since I wrote this article, that Premier League footballers are likely to stop taking a knee this upcoming season after the gesture lost impact following a number of damaging revelations about Black Lives Matter. No least, of course, the fact that their entire leadership is basically grifters who have just cashed in on the movement to buy multi-million dollar luxury homes in the whitest areas of America that they can find. And of course, the attendant fallout from all the riots from the summer of riot. Summer of rioting, which we won't forget in America, which claimed dozens of lives from June 2020 onwards, and of course caused record billions in property damage. Well, now, because of course some sections of supporters have booed take a knee, it's lost its impact, even if you think its impact is some limp-wristed anti-racism stance. They're abandoning it, they're going to do it for the first game, they're going to do it for a few select matches, but by and large, this performative virtue signaling gesture before Premier League matches, which of course command huge audiences across the world, not just in the United Kingdom, is now dead and done. Meanwhile, though, UK police chief says authorities need to stop wasting time investigating people being offended. And this brings us to our next video, where a British Army veteran in the United Kingdom was actually had police show up at his house, put him in handcuffs, arrest him, because he shared an edgy meme on Facebook. Let's go to this video now. This is the meme police.
Some people still think that it's sort of a joke that police in the UK will show up at something on social media that someone claims to be offended by. Oi mate, you got a license for that tweet? But it's not a joke, it happens all the time. And it just happened again. 51-year-old Darren Brady was arrested for sharing a meme on Facebook deemed offensive to transgender people. He didn't even post the meme himself. He shared a post by actor and political commentator Lawrence Fox. The first time police showed up at his house, they demanded he attend a re-education course to atone for his sins. His sin being hurting the fifties of some who showed up at his house. This happened.
Now, the Scripture police would realise how ridiculous this is.
What did it need to come to?
Tell us why you escalated it to this level. Because I don't understand. I posted something that he posted, you come to arrest me, you don't arrest him. Why has it come to this? Why am I in cuffs? Because of something he shared, then I shared.
Because someone has been caused, obviously, anxiety based upon your social media sites. That's
not
why you've been arrested.
Darren, I've got the
look at this prat.
Because someone has been caused, obviously, anxiety.
Someone has been caused anxiety.
He says it like he's got the moral high ground. You're literally arresting someone for hurting someone's feelings, knobhead. You're literally the thought police. Not like there are any real crimes taking place, is it? Not like 2 in 3 burglaries aren't even investigated by the police, is it? Not like car theft has effectively been legalised because only 0.5% of cases lead to charges, is it? Oh, but there's plenty of time to investigate playground insults and memes posted in private WhatsApp chat groups. Brady's arrest was witnessed by Harry Miller. He was previously interrogated for retweeting a limerick about transgenders, but Miller won his case. The Court of Appeal ruled the guidance police were working from breached Miller's human rights. The UK College of Policing then revised the guidance. And yet police are still being dispatched to patrol hurt feelings. Why? And what does this tell us about the balance of power in our society? The LGBT community is so marginalised that if you make fun of them, the cops will literally show up wearing LGBT lanyards to arrest you for it. Yeah, so marginalised. Likely next Prime Minister Liz Truss has promised to put a stop to police wasting their resources on investigating tweets. Believe it when I see it. The Chief Constable of Greater Manchester says police should stop wasting time investigating tweets just because someone claims to be offended. He presides over the most improved police department in the entire country. Maybe police in Aldershot should listen to him and concentrate on fighting actual crimes rather than putting people in handcuffs for posting edgy memes.
Now, the point I made in the video was the police have been told by the official police guidance organisation to stop doing this. Liz Truss, again, the probable next Prime Minister, says she's going to put a stop to it. But it keeps happening. It was an actual story that a former police officer was arrested and given 20 weeks in jail because he shared offensive George Floyd memes on a private WhatsApp group. Private. He didn't even post it on the internet. There are laws in the UK which say nobody can even release your private communications. That is a crime. Yet they did that, they arrested him, they put him in prison for private jokes on his WhatsApp text messaging service. Absolutely incredible. And again, you know, over 3,000 people in the UK arrested every year for tweets. This continues to happen. They're not investigating the burglaries, no resources for that. Your car gets broken into, you get robbed there. 0.5% of those cases result in charges. They don't care about that. They are the thought police, and it's still happening. And in fact, I'm going to come back with another video on that subject after the break. Meanwhile, though, Daily Skeptic reports COVID vaccines are killing 1 in every 800 over 60s and should be withdrawn immediately, says leading vaccine scientists.
COVID vaccine boosters in older people are killing one person for every 800 doses administered and should be withdrawn immediately. This is Dr. Theo Schetters, a vaccinologist based in the Netherlands. And again, as I mentioned last week with the excess deaths in the United Kingdom, you plot the graph of fourth shot COVID boosters onto these excess deaths in the Netherlands, and the graph almost matches exactly. Interesting, that, isn't it? Meanwhile, of course, Joe Biden is just being announced again, and basically I've lost count at this point, has tested positive for COVID again. So this is basically the third time in the space of the last 2 weeks that quadruple vaccinated Biden has tested positive for COVID. Again, it's a sick joke, and you're the punchline. We're going to come back in the next segment, though, talk about Batgirl and why it failed. This is Summit.News. Don't go away.
If you're concerned about...
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
So the chief constable in Manchester, England, says that the public is sick of the authorities investigating mean tweets. He says there has to be a stop to it. We still have it happening, of course, as you just saw, veterans being harassed, handcuffed, arrested by police for sharing memes on Facebook. Well, someone else who was at least caused offence in the past few days on Twitter was Gary Lineker, which was particularly funny, because he's one of the denizens of the woke mob brigade, routinely trying to call other people offensive for their opinions and comments. Well, the backlash hit him this week, and now basically he's been cancelled. He's desperately backpedaling because he made a tweet which dared gently a pun on words. It wasn't even a joke at the expense of women's football. It was a pun on words. But because women's football here in the UK is being shoved down our throats left, right and centre, everyone is basically mandated to like it. He did a funny pun on words on Twitter and he got absolutely savage for it. But again, the kind of person he is, you have to have zero sympathy for him. This is Gary Lineker is cancelled. Let's roll it.
Well, it couldn't have happened to a more deserving candidate. Perma-woke imbecile Gary Lineker has finally been cancelled by the same social media mob mindset that he helped create. His crime? Well, Lineker, unintentionally, dared to undermine the latest current thing that everyone is supposed to care about and be deeply supportive of. Women's football. Yes, our esteemed regime social engineering overlords demand as much servile genuflecting in honor of female soccer as they did blue and yellow Ukraine flags at the end of February. The English women's team winning a trophy by kicking a ball in a net is being treated by the media as if they'd collectively found a cure for cancer. Personally speaking, I don't care about women's football. And never will. The quality is, shall we say, not exactly on a par with the men's game. So now you know what they're going to make me watch in the re-education gulag. Lineker unwittingly fell foul of the mob after he tried to respond to the England player removing her shirt with a witty quip. The Lionesses have only gone and done it, the ex-footballer tweeted. Kelly is England's heroine. Bra none. Oh no, the outrage. For this lame joke, Lineker was treated as if he'd revoked universal female suffrage.
Seriously, Gary? An epic win. A game changer for women's sport. A call to arms for young girls who have been told they can't. And you minimise this glory down to a joke about women, clothing, underwear. Casual sexism is right here and the Lionesses.
The backlash was swift and Lineker quickly deleted the tweet. Note that he didn't say anything particularly offensive and merely made the same kind of cringe pun on words he's done 1,000 times before about male footballers. But again, his egregious transgression represented such an insult to the mob because it dared to make light of the deadly serious new current thing that everyone is mandated to be respectful of and reverential towards. Today it's women's football, next month it'll be something else. The lesson is clear. Don't make fun of the current thing, or the mob will make an example out of you.
Now, Lineker's come out since and basically said he refuses to apologise. You already deleted the tweet. You freaked out, wet the bed and deleted the tweet after about 5 minutes. So, in a way, that's already a pathetic form of apology. go to this next video now, though, because there's a huge wave of anti-woke, basically backlash in the entertainment industry in Hollywood. And it's developing, it's accelerating over recent months. We've had massive success of films like Top Gun, Maverick, while the ones that have pushed woke messaging, the regime-enforced social engineering dogma, have consistently fallen flat on their face. And it happened again, but it not only happened, it happened to a film that they refused to even release because it was that bad, despite the fact that it cost $90 million to make. This is the truth about Batgirl. Here it is.
They're calling it the most expensive movie to never actually be released. Warner Brothers spent more than $90 million on Batgirl, and yet it's never going to see the light of day, not even on their HBO streaming service. The official line is that by cutting its losses now, Warner Brothers will save money on promoting the film and can also recoup money by filing it as a tax expense. True enough, but that doesn't explain why the movie was so dreadful in the first place. With test audiences reacting to the film like someone had let off in the cinema. We don't have to dig too deeply to find out why. People are sick to the back teeth of being browbeaten with the message. And this crap had it in abundance. It was yet another Trojan horse for intersectional woke gobbledygook. The star of the film was some no-mark diversity hire, a little-known Afro-Latina singer-actress whose only previous film had been an abject failure. The screenplay was written by Christina Hodson, an ultra-feminist previously panned for producing men-hating guff. Batgirl's best mate was a transgender character played by a transgender actress, another risible diversity box-ticking exercise. Batgirl was directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah. They were also behind the TV series Miss Marvel, an excruciatingly sanctimonious write-on-snore-fest about a Muslim Pakistani-American teenage girl who is bullied at school until she develops superpowers. Miss Marvel was panned by comic book fans as an insult to the genre, which it shamelessly exploited to amplify woke social engineering dogmas. And the exact same thing happened again with Batgirl. You'd have thought that the directors, or the people paying them to make the movies, would have seen that as a wake-up call. Evidently not, but this represents yet another massive white pill. Get woke, go broke used to be somewhat of a boomer cliche, but at least in terms of the entertainment industry, it's more true than ever before. Marvel's mega-budget movie Eternals was panned as overly preachy, and it crashed and burned. Buzz Lightyear, which piggybacked off woke messaging, was a colossal failure. Top Gun, in comparison, a movie that refused to pander to identitarian drivel, was a global smash hit. Disney is hemorrhaging subscribers and going bust. Netflix is having to jettison woke content to stay afloat, while networks like Paramount Plus are prioritizing quality over political correctness, and they're doing just fine. So we know why Batgirl failed. It deserved to fail, because just like a plethora of previous flops, its creators were more interested in lecturing the audience than keeping them entertained.
Let's hit a final few news stories here in the last 3 minutes of the show. Swedish military says supporting gay pride parades just as important as defending country. Yes, even though they're apparently faced with the menace that is Russia, they're faced with hordes of unintegrated migrants that have basically created low-level civil war in Sweden. It's now the most dangerous country in Europe in terms of gun crime, having been the safest 20 years ago before they let millions of people in from North Africa and the Middle East. Well, now the Swedish military has asserted that supporting gay pride parades is just as important as defending the country from foreign attack. They launched a campaign proclaiming gay pride festivals to be more important than ever, and one of the core values of the military in uncertain times. Wait a minute, isn't the military supposed to be non-political? People get court-martialed, they get kicked out of the military if they're found to express political sentiment, bias in one way or another. That's the same standard across the Western world. Yet you're expressing not only support, but saying it's equally as important as defending the country from terrorists and foreign adversaries, marching in gay pride parades. How is that not political? And again, how is it not yet another illustration of how the LGBT movement, while it still claims to be marginalized and oppressed, is backed by every major corporation, cultural institution, government, and indeed armed forces in the West. Absolutely incredible. Also in Sweden,
which has bigger problems than the military supporting gay pride parades. Actually, some good news here. Swedish migration minister wants to limit non-Nordic population in troubled areas. Of course, this was a proposal first mooted and indeed now being implemented by neighboring country Denmark, where they're actually demolishing entire areas of migrant ghettos and forcing those migrants to move out because they've created parallel societies that breed crime and social dislocation. The much vaunted no-go zone areas that the mainstream media once claimed were a conspiracy theory. Of course, now you have routine violence in Sweden, routine migrant riots in Sweden and in other European countries. Well, now their migration minister, Anders Jegerman, has suggested that Sweden should follow the example of Denmark. Denmark says that at least 30% of communities, or only 30% of communities,